Good to see everybody here this morning. Amen. Everybody happy? Praise God. You happy, Raj? Yeah, buddy. That's right, he is. Hallelujah. Where's my bag go? Oh, here it is. We're going to get back to Revelation, I promise, but I'm preaching through some things here that's important to me. There's a passage of Scripture there. Well, actually, the whole book. If I wasn't teaching through Revelation, I'd be teaching through Ephesians. It's so full of information. Such a wonderful book that Paul writes. The theme of the book has to do a lot with spiritual warfare. It also has a lot to do with a doctrine that I think is substantial to get in our mind, and how God has worked through the ages, especially through the church age. The book of Ephesians gives you the walk of the believer, how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to walk, what we can expect in this walk. But it does it in a dimensional type way. Haley and I was having a conversation the other day about prayer. And I was trying to share with her some things about prayer. And I was trying to share this with her because I didn't think that I would be able to share this with anyone else. How many of you know that there are certain times that God will tell you something and it's just between you and the Lord? You know that? And sometimes I get crossed up in that because there's times the Lord will share something with me that I can't share with nobody else. It's just between me and the Lord. That's why you have an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There are times when if you tell someone what God told you, they're not going to understand it. And I find in my life that happens a great deal. As a matter of fact, you can say something to somebody and they'll disagree with it. And they're disagreeing with what you know God spoke to your heart, but it's simply because they don't have the understanding of what God said the way you do. And there are times when language, words, do not adequately define what God does in our lives. How many of you would understand that part? So what we're going to talk about is trying to delve in just a little bit to this question. How close are we to Jesus? Just how close are we to Jesus? And I think Paul spends some time in Ephesians trying to teach us what it is that draws us away from Christ, and then what it maybe is like to visualize, and I use that term hesitatingly, but to visualize just how close we are to Jesus. It might surprise us all to know how near He is to us when we don't think He's anywhere around. And here's why. We base the presence of God on how we feel. And it's not accurate. That's not accurate. You can feel a million miles away from the Lord, and that's the closest you've been to Him in any time in your life. So I spent a little time in prayer this week. Some of you know I got a bad report, and then we went to see a surgeon, and I'm going to go ahead and say this out loud so that I can get this all done, and then everybody's on the same page and we know where we're going, okay? I went to see a surgeon this past Friday. We had laid some things before the Lord. Is this okay for me to share? I guess it is. Yeah. Okay. I'm doing it to lay a little foundation here. Went to see a surgeon, and he's supposedly this great surgeon down at Baptist on cancer. And so the plan is, and I have a low-grade cancer, which that's good news. Everybody say amen to that. Amen. But he was explaining to me that the scans that they do only shows them about 20% of what's there. which I didn't know that, or I wouldn't have been doing those scans. But nonetheless, the surgeon planned for surgery in October, last of October, and what they're planning on doing is they open you up with a pretty large incision that covers from about here down, and then they take out anything that they can find, and they then pump chemo into you and wash you out with chemo. And it's a long recovery. I'm not looking forward to that procedure.
I don't blame you.
That's not something I'm looking forward to. However, through this past week, we spent some time praying, seeking God on a word. Felt like God gave Dawn a word, and felt like he also gave me a word about it. So we're going to press forward with that idea. In talking to the Lord about all of this, I experienced a God encounter. And it didn't have nothing to do with this. You get what I'm saying? Because God's perspective on things is most of the time a whole lot different than ours. Okay? And we look at things differently than God does. The scripture says the death of God's children is precious in His sight. We mourn the loss here because we're stuck in temporary and not in eternal. Okay, so I had to understand, get some perspective on all of that. And it called to my mind this passage in Ephesians 3, starting with verse 14. I'm going to try my best to not talk about the verses preceding and the verses after. I'm hoping I can do that, but I can't promise. So starting with verse 14, here's what Paul says. For this cause, and that's what gets me in trouble. Every time I get ready to teach or preach, when you find for this cause, you got to figure out what the cause is, and you got to read before to get the cause. So I'm going to leave that up to you. It talks about revelation that was given to the apostles and the prophets and all that. And then Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. I can only ask the Holy Spirit would give revelation, because I'm not going to be able to articulate to you all that means in mere words, so that you can understand it. But listen to that verse 16 again, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in what? Everybody say it. In love. That ye be rooted and grounded in love. Now at this point, I am going to pause and then we'll read on. But I'm going to pause here to tell you something that Haley insisted yesterday that I tell you. Okay? How many of you know Haley is awesome? We hadn't been married long, and I told her one day, I said, you're just absolutely awesome. And she giggled and said, I know. And so ever since then, I've told her, Haley, you're just awesome. And she continuously says, I know. Now, I want to tell you something about this in terms of this verse. I want you to hear me. Everybody say, I'm listening. We have a tendency to see the weaknesses of others quicker than we see our own weaknesses. Did you hear me? Now let me tell you something else. Very seldom do you see your own weaknesses without prayer and leadership of the Holy Spirit. But it is uncovered before all the failures and weaknesses of others. That's the test of love. That is why Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. What does it mean? It means that you have to have a God perspective of those that are around you. You cannot look at others through your own eyes or you'll be blinded. You will come to wrong conclusions. Here's the truth of the matter. Again, everybody say, I'm listening. I'm going to make a declaration. God likes you.
Which is amazing.
Isn't it? Yeah. I mean, think about that. Listen, it's one thing to know God loves you. That's almost a foregone conclusion based off of the choice of Christ to suffer our death. His love is not in question. Now watch. God likes you. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead of what I'm going to talk about, but I do need to tell you this. So I'm talking to the Lord this past week, and I hate that the Lord is... I wanted really to do Revelation, but because it would get me out of some personal things and being vulnerable, and I don't enjoy that. But I'm not answering to you, I'm answering to the Lord. Okay, so I have to follow God in this. So when you get a diagnosis like I got, you have to prepare.
Yeah.
Right? So immediately when I got the diagnosis, I started preparing as though, okay, well, I'm going to meet the Lord real quick and I need to be ready. I got to be responsible. I've got to take care of things here. I want to make sure she's taken care of. And I want to make sure of that. I love this girl. She's been, she's awesome. So I'm making preparations to do that. I don't want that to sound morbid, but you got to make those preparations. So I'm making preparations, and then I'm talking to the Lord, and it was like God wasn't interested in talking about that right at the moment. You know, He was wanting to talk about some other things, and so I'm talking to the Lord, and the Lord began to share with me how that we relate one to another and how that most of the time our conclusions is drawn based on how we view one another. And then we attach religious terms to it called discernment. So here's what the Lord told me. He said, hey, you may need to know you have a whole lot of people cheering for you in heaven. I'm telling you what the Lord said to me.
Yeah.
And I thought about Papa and Mama. I thought about Dad and Mom. I thought about some of the ones that is already there. And I even thought about my sister that I've never seen, never laid eyes on her. She went on to be with the Lord before I was born. And I was imagining them cheering for me. And so immediately I say to the Lord, Lord, I hope they sure haven't seen all of my boo-boos and all of my mistakes and my... And the Lord said, what do you mean? None of that's allowed there. Ooh, that hit me just right between the eyes. He said, the Father don't even see that. You're covered by the blood.
Praise God, yes.
Please tell me y'all just heard what I just said.
Heaven's
cheering for me because no sin can enter there. They haven't seen my sin. I don't know about you, but let me tell you something. There's been a lot of times in my life that I have brokenheartedly wept thinking my granddaddy's in glory and he knows what I've thought and he knows what I've done and he's seen and I don't know how. And God said, what are you talking about? No. The Father don't even see that. You're covered by the blood under the new covenant. Your sins are forgiven. They will never be remembered against you again. Somebody please shout glory. So I'm communicating with the Lord based off of that. And I was trying to tell Haley, it was like there was just a, I'm getting way ahead of myself and I didn't want to, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Watch. It's like there is this thin, paper-thin veil between this dimension and the dimension in which Jesus is dwelling in that is invisible to the human eye, but it's just a paper-thin veil between me and Him. I could almost see Him. I know that sounds crazy. That's the reason I try not to talk about some things that are just me. But that's where I was at. And I kept saying to the Lord, please don't let me go. Don't turn loose on me right now. Just stay with me. Please stay with me. Please stay with me. And I was concentrating and focusing. And I was saying, oh, Lord, please let me just live right here in this moment, because there's strength here. There's peace here. There's joy here. There's all that I need is right here. If I could just penetrate through that veil. Okay? Now, though He wasn't interested in talking to me about the situation I was in, that was about the situation I was in. Can you hear that? That's how God works. And I was saying to the Lord, Lord, I want You to be close to me. And I thought of this. That one of the things that takes us away from that closeness to God is how we interrelate to one another. And proof of that is we got to be grounded in love. I can't look at Joe Barrett through my eyes. I'll see all of the faults and the failures in Joe Barrett. I have to see Joe Barrett through the eyes of the Lord that's in another dimension. I'll tell you about that dimension if we have time in a minute. If I can see you the way God sees you, I will love you with God-like love. And I'll say, she's awesome. And I will also like you, because God likes you.
Amen.
Did you hear all that? Okay, now I want to keep reading here. Here's what he says in verse 18. Okay, here's the dimensionality part. Listen to this. All of this that I've read so far brings us to this, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints, that is, understand, comprehend with all saints. Watch. What is the breadth, length, depth, and height? How many of you know that you're a three-dimensional person? You see in three dimensions. This is four dimensions. Okay? Now, and I've told you this before, but there are some that go back to the book of Genesis and describe there are 10 dimensions. Three that are knowable, seven that aren't. According to the Word of God. That in some ways has even been confirmed by the American Science Journal, that has concluded after years of study, by the way, this is scientific data that man has compiled. They have come to this scientific conclusion that, watch this, everything you see on the earth is just a mere simulation of a much larger reality. They're just now discovering that. We knew it since the writing of Genesis 1:1. Right? So I'm saying that here we can comprehend dimensions that we're not in. We're three-dimensional, four dimensions is named, and it says we can comprehend this. How? Through love, by being rooted and grounded in love. Well, what roots us and grounds us in love? If you go back to what I've read, Christ dwelling in our hearts. What does that do? Well, according to the riches of His glory, it strengthens our inner man. Are you with me so far? And how does this happen? It happens by the power and authority of the Father through Jesus Christ that Paul is praying to. I hope you're following the text. Then it says in verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. So here's what I want to show you, talk to you a little bit about the prayer of Paul here. And we'll go quickly. He was in the position of submission and surrender. How many of you want to be close to Jesus? You got to get in this position. He was in the position of submission and surrender, according to verse 14. He said, I bow my knees. There's significance to this. We do it symbolically without even thinking. We need to think. The position Paul is in is a position of submission. I'm on my knees before you, God, helpless. I'm submissive and obedient. And it's a position of surrender because he's on his knees. This is the prayer of Paul that he prayed. He honors the position of God in verse 15. This, I am bowing my knees to the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named. He's talking about all of the redeemed. And I want to remind you, your family is bigger than you think. Now, you could teach, you'd never get through with that if you did it. Can I tell you, I'm so sick of Baptists thinking they're the only ones going to heaven. And I say it that way because I don't know no other way of saying it. And I'm also just as sick of Methodists thinking they're the only ones that's going to heaven. And I'm just as sick of Charismatics thinking they're the only ones going to heaven. Your family is bigger than you think.
Yes, it is. Much bigger.
Some of them act different. How many of you's got cousins that you don't want at the family reunion? Watch. God likes them. It's some dance. That's exactly right. Don't bring up the dancing. I have already brought that up last week, and I've had that word 15 times, and it's just entirely possible I may have to cut a rug right here in front of all of you. That scares Haley to death. Because let me tell you, she would not think that's awesome. I promise you. Don't agree. He acknowledges the standard of God's riches as the source for the petition that he gives for our strength. Now, watch that in verse 16. Read verse 16 with me. That he would grant you. This is what Paul's praying for. Oh, boy. We got ladies here that attend the intercession thing on Thursday night. Okay, watch this. Listen to me. This is an important principle of prayer. Paul finds himself in the right position before he prays for others. He's praying for us. So, how many of you want power in your prayer life? You got to first start there. Submission, if you look at that as a Bible concept, the entire concept of submission includes repentance. It includes commitment to obedience. All of those things goes into submission and surrender, and you got to get there before you can ever start praying for someone else. And Paul is praying for your strength and mine in verse 16, and he says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. How many of you would love to live with the strength of God? It can only happen this way. By his Spirit. That's invisible. In where? In the inner man. Not the outer shell of who you are, but the inner man. Strength comes into the inner man. This is what Paul is praying for. Faith and love are the consequence of the permanent abiding presence of Christ in your heart. Now, again, the older I get and the more I do this, the harder it is for me to not take this and go for months on it, because you can. But this is an important statement. I need you to hear it. Faith and love are the consequence of the permanent abiding presence of Christ in your heart. Listen to it again. Faith and love are the consequence of the permanent abiding presence of Christ in your heart. Verse 17. Look at verse 17. that Christ may dwell in your heart. That is, permanently take up residence. That's what the word means in the original language. To permanently take up residence. You ought to be shouting now.
Amen.
If you understood the depth of the Word of God, that right there was enough to make you shout. It is the permanent abiding presence. Listen to me. When I got saved, I was permanently placed into the hands of the Father. And there is nothing or no one can take me out of that. Please, everybody say amen. Now, the consequence of His permanent abiding presence, Haley just sang the song, make me aware of you. What are we becoming aware of? We're becoming aware of how close Jesus is to us, which answers the question of the theme of what we're talking about. If you looked at the first title slide was, is how close are you to Jesus? That's really the wrong question, but I did it on purpose. The right question is to make you aware of how close Jesus is to you. Because when you become aware of the permanent abiding presence of Christ, the consequence is a faith builder, a love enhancer. I can always tell how close you are to Jesus and how close Jesus is to you by how you love somebody. Or by where your faith's at when the storms is raging. Listen to me. It's awful easy to praise God when everything's going good. But do you understand that we are mandated by this book called the Bible that we are to congregate here this morning and lift up hands to the Lord God in heaven who created heaven and earth and you and all that therein is? We are to lift up hands and give Him praise because He's a good God. Regardless of what's going on. Are y'all with me? So faith and love are the consequence of the permanent abiding presence of Christ. Here's where we get into some depth. Now, I'm going to read this, but before I do, I want to call your attention to something. So again, everybody say, I'm listening. Paul says to the church of Corinth, I wanted to give you meat, but I had to give you milk. He said, the reason I had to give you milk is because you're still a babe in Christ. Y'all with me? Don't take no pride in that. Please don't take pride. Don't think that's humble or a thing of humility to acknowledge, well, you know, I've heard people say this. I sure don't know the Bible like you do, but this and that. And I'm thinking, okay, your first statement's already off. If you don't know the Bible, don't admit it. Get somewhere and learn it. Did you hear what I just said? You say, but I don't understand it like you do. Yes, you do. You have the same Holy Spirit in you as I've got in me. You have the same teacher. And God makes sure you have the same capacity. So if you're not growing in your relationship with God, it's not because you can't. It's because you won't. It's because you haven't done the first thing, submission and surrender. So all of these things are in place. You're strengthened by the permanent abiding presence of Christ in your heart. It opens up this. An understanding of the dimensionality of the presence of Christ and the life that you live in the fullness of God. I kind of wrote that wrong, but you understand what I'm saying. Okay? Understanding the dimensionality of the presence of Christ and the life we live that is in the fullness of God. Did you know it's God's will for you to be full of God? full. So we're going to talk about living in another dimension real quick. I'm just going to put them up here. I won't talk about them. I don't know why I do that. That kind of makes me dizzy when them letters do that. The term eternal means no beginning. The term eternity represents another dimension. We have understood it to mean another place, that is, eternity. How many of you know you have eternal life? I asked the surgeon when we was over there the other day, I asked him, I said, should I prepare to live? He said, forever. That's what he said. Okay, now that's what I'm telling you what he told me. Okay, now he don't know, and I don't know why I didn't. I've regretted it ever since. I told Haley, I said, I should have said, oh yeah, I've already got that covered. I have eternal life. I have no ending. See, y'all are not hearing that. I can tell you're not hearing that. How many of y'all are saved? Okay, this is your reality too. Watch this. You have no ending. You're going to live forever. Hello?
Yeah.
These old shells is going to lay down, but watch this. I get a new one. Yeah. And it's got hair. Lot better looking. Better back. My hands and feet's getting better, by the way. But the new body will not have any trouble with hands and feet. I'm going to live forever because of eternal life. What made that eternal life possible? Because there is a dimension, another dimension called eternity. And all that is in eternity is eternal. I'm wanting you to tap into this other dimension. We're not going to have time to do all this, but living in the dimension of time limits what we can see, touch, hear, and feel. There's limitations in this dimension, but there's not in the other dimension. And I say again, there is a paper veil between you and the other dimension. I've got to hurry. There's just a thin barrier between us and Jesus. It's a thin barrier. Here's what he said. I'll never leave you.
Amen.
Nor will I ever forsake you. Is that not what he said? Try this one on. Lo, I am with you always. Always, Lord? You mean even when I blow it, you're there? Yeah. I'm with you always. He even put this in his word. He said, now when you praise me and stuff, he said, you'll feel me a little closer to you. Why is he saying that? Because you're getting closer to that other dimension.
Yeah.
That, by the way, there's only a thin barrier. Are you with me? I'm giving you totality of Scripture here for just a second, okay? Let me just put this up here and then I'll get back to that and I'll be done. Walking in the Spirit means that you allow Jesus to penetrate the barrier and walk in a place where you can see, hear, touch, and feel by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is not even the punchline, okay? So, but listen to that. Did you hear? Are y'all hearing that? Walking in the Spirit, where are we strengthened? In the Spirit, in the inner man, by His Spirit. Walking in the Spirit means you allow Jesus to penetrate that barrier, that thin barrier between you and Him. He's penetrating that barrier to where you can begin to feel. You can almost see. You can hear. Now you say, wait a minute, I don't understand all this thin barrier stuff and all of this. I don't understand. Well, let me put it this way, and I'm done here. I'll close. You remember when Jesus was on the cross? You know what the Bible says about that? when he was hanging on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. What was the veil for? It was to hide the Holy of Holies and keep man from seeing it. But when he died, that veil was rent, and what was hidden from man is now in plain view. And then the writer of Hebrews says this, brethren, you now have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ. And he said, this is a new and living way through the veil. Please tell me y'all heard what I just said. There's a thin veil between you and Jesus. It's separating this physical dimension from a dimension that is invisible yet can be seen. You say, I don't believe it can be seen. Really? The writer of Hebrews then says this about Moses. How did Moses endure the afflictions in Egypt? It says, because he saw him that was invisible. Y'all are not with me. You can hear his voice, see the imprint of who he is. You can feel his hand. You can actually walk in a place where his arms are wrapped around you. And when you feel that, it's like all your faults and your failures and your gook, it'll start trying to ooze out, and then the Lord has to say, no, I already know about that. Don't go there. I've already forgiven you. I've cleaned you up. I knew about it before you got there. Back before you were aware of it, I was already aware of it, and I made preparations, and the Father can't see that, and none of heaven can see that. That's why they're up there cheering you on.
Yeah, praise God. What an awesome thought.
Are you? Listen, if you experience it just one time, if you come just a little bit close, you are not going to be the same. Your prayer life is going to change. Your perspective is going to change. The way you see, can I just tell you all this? Right now, you're almost a distant simulation to me. But that dimension where Jesus is more real to me now than any time in my life. And it's not just that it's okay, I don't want to leave it. Oh, you're not quite there. You're almost there. Some of you are getting there, maybe. That dimension is there for you. You can hear him. You can see the imprint. And now all you have to do is just say, Jesus. And I can hear him even now. So I'm right there. I'm right here. I'm right here. Don't worry about anything. I got you. Everybody's got a long journey, a hard journey. This physical reality is hard. Y'all notice that? I'm not telling you these things because I'm strong. I'm telling you because I'm weak. I'm weak as water. I'm not real fond of this. Are you?
No.
Oof. But I can tell you there is another dimension that I'm in love with. And it's more real than this. And that in that dimension, my Savior is King of glory. There's not even any elections up there.
Praise God.
He's King. You want the Lord to penetrate that barrier and show you really who He is this morning? Or y'all just don't sit there and just look at me. Not one of you raised your hand. There was one or two. You want the Lord to penetrate that barrier so you can hear and touch and feel and see? Let's ask Him for it, can we? Lord, first we just want to submit and surrender. We want to submit and surrender. And Lord, we want cleansing. We want cleansing, Lord, because we need to be clean, because we just need to get all that out of the way. Now, Lord, fill us with the fullness of God. And help us leave this old dirty, rotten flesh nature. And help us lay it down and walk in the strength of the inner man. Grounded in love, rooted in faith. And if it's your will, let us be a shining example of that to everybody around. That they can see Jesus in us. Maybe we could penetrate that barrier for others by you filling us with yourself and your spirit and using us to help someone else. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.